Well, it's interesting that when I got out to the back here this morning and saw the title of the sermon last week, it was also on hope. And our Sabbath school finished on hope this morning. So I don't know whether that was providential or not, but my angle will also be on hope, but perhaps I think from a different angle from last week, perhaps. Well, it's good to be able to be a people of hope. Adventists are a people of hope on a journey of hope. And in fact, I've called this sermon a journey of hope. I conduct evangelistic meetings every year in the Philippines and just came back a couple of months ago. And I always call them or title the whole series the Prophecies of Hope, because hope is what people need and hope is part of the message that we have, isn't it? Our prophecies are not to discourage us, but to give us hope for the future. And our whole reason for existence, our message and our mission is based on a message of hope. I don't know if you remember, what's happening here? Is the next slide on? Yes. Should be another slide coming up. Oh, there we are. Our vision, I'm not sure that's the same or not now, have they changed it? But our vision is to know, experience and share our hope in Jesus Christ. And one of our favourite text is this one. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's our hope of a second coming of Jesus that really focuses us, doesn't it? Gives us that hope that keeps reminding us of the task that God has given us as a church. As SDOs, Adventists, we believe that we have a unique message and a unique mission to take to the world. It's not just something that anyone else has really in the same. We have a package of truths, I believe, that God has raised up this denomination to share with the world in order to prepare for the coming of Christ. I believe ours is a unique judgment, our message, fitted for the needs of our world today, but it's also a message of hope. Today I want to just first of all step back for just a minute or so and lay some of the foundations in order to remind you of the world that we live in and why we need that hope to offer them. You know, our pioneers in the Adventist Church were convicted that we had this special message that God had raised us up. And it was a message to be taken to the whole world, a message that seemed relevant and absolutely vital, something that the world desperately needed to hear. But I want to ask the question, and this is giving me a bit of a problem here, but yeah. Is our message still relevant in the 21st century? For the world has changed dramatically since our church began. We've had modern science, we've had two world wars, we've had 9/11, a rapid secularisation of society, among some of the things that has made our world so different. In fact, it began way back in about the 14th century of the Renaissance, when down through the years, modern science, Darwinian evolution, and all these sorts of things turned Western society away from this idea that there's a God in control and that we ought to align our lives with his will. They began to think that science and education and all the rest could help us, and that we didn't really need a God. Our human reason, which had evolved enough that we ought to be able to solve our own problems, and we didn't need God or religion to explain or control it. That's what's happened over many hundreds of years, and nations that were once basically Christian have largely lost their belief. And today, unfortunately, Western culture no longer marches to the Christianity's drum. Thank you. The percentage of even people attending in church has declined dramatically. Even in Christian America, so-called Christian America, it's fast not becoming Christian at all, and it's not becoming united either. As we see in the news these days. But it's been said there that in America, religion is a mile wide, but only an inch thick. In other words, it's a shallow kind of Christianity on the whole. And in Australia, the situation is even worse. We have millions who have virtually no consciousness or no remembrance or background or vocabulary about Christianity. They haven't been brought up with it. Even many people who claim to be Christians don't necessarily believe or know what the Bible says or teaches. So when we understand this, perhaps we can begin to comprehend why sometimes our message seems as though it's just a strange kind of a language, a foreign language to many people. It may seem out of date, out of touch with reality, irrelevant to what's going on in the world, no longer able to supply the deepest needs of people in the 21st century. But let me pose this question. Does the secular world provide solutions to the major issues facing the world today? Does human philosophy or science answer the deepest longings of the human heart? Does it solve the brokenness and despair of so many people today? Does it give any real meaning or significance to our lives? Does it provide any certainty about the future and provide a hope that can turn sadness into gladness? Does it? No, not at all. You've probably heard of George Bernard Shaw, perhaps one of the most renowned free thinker and liberal philosopher of a century or so ago. He wrote in his last writings, still not going. Anyway, oh, here we are. The science to which I pinned my faith is bankrupt. Its councils, which should have established the millennium, led instead directly to the suicide of Europe. I believed them once. In their name, I helped to destroy the faith of millions of worshippers in the temples of 1,000 creeds. And now they look at me and witness the great tragedy of an atheist who has lost his faith. What a tragic conclusion to a brilliant man's life. The kind of world that we are living in today has these characteristics. It's fearful, lonely, suffering from a deep guilt complex, but not really knowing why. Anxious about the future, not knowing where they came from, why they're here or where they're going. Sharing a fear of death, a sense of meaninglessness, and a lack of hope. Let me just come back to that. No, I've just gone ahead of myself a little bit. Yes, so is the Christian message relevant to today? Of course it is. In fact, there's nothing that is more relevant and more needed by society today. In fact, long ago, William Gladstone, a former Prime Minister of England, said, "If I were asked what is the remedy for the deepest sorrows of the human heart, I would point to the old, old story told in an old, old book and taught with an old, old teaching, the gospel. This is the greatest and best gift ever given to mankind." I believe that, don't you? Yes, of course. But being a little bit more specific, is the message of the Adventist Church in Revelation 14, the three angels and so on, is it relevant to the needs of the world today in a world which sees little hope for the planet, plagued by fear, disease, natural disasters, global warming, pollution, declining natural resources, war and international terrorism? Does our message have something about it that will inspire hope? I believe, of course, it does. Remember that God has a special message and a present truth message, a message of truth for people who are living just before the coming of Jesus and the winding up of everything in our world. I've only got a short time to just mention one or two aspects of the message found in Revelation 14 and 6. You know this very well. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. "Then I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of waters.'" Here, right in the heart of this message, is to be proclaimed in the last days, our day, a message that is the everlasting gospel. You know, there's still many different kinds of gospels, even amongst Adventists sometimes. But what is involved in this good news? I believe the good news is, of course, about Jesus. He's the centre of the good news. But it includes things like this: Christ's matchless love, his life of humble service, his infinite love for and interest in men and women and children of every race and class, his submission to the Father's will, his fearless denunciation of evil, his long-suffering with erring, stupid humanity, his atoning death, his victory over sin, the devil and the grave, his free gift of eternal life to all who trust and follow him, his high priestly ministry and intercession, his return to this world in power and glory to bring judgment against evil and to vindicate his people and his righteousness and restore his creation to its original ideal. These are the themes that should capture our minds and that we ought to try wherever possible to share with the rest of the world. And surely this is a message of hope. You know, I thank God for the balance of the Lord's servant, Ellen G. White. And she wrote that through his merits, Christ's merits, and the exercise of repentance and faith, the most guilty sinner might receive a pardon and obtain strength to live a life of obedience. On the other hand, she makes it clear that salvation is by faith alone. It's not something that we can earn ourselves in order to gain assurance of salvation. She says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." If you have nothing else to plead before God but this one promise from your Lord and Saviour, you will have the assurance that you'll never, never be turned away. Present this assurance to Jesus, and you are as safe as though inside the city of God. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Something that we should, it should motivate us. You know, it's only this gospel which teaches our acceptance with Christ as conditional on his perfection and not mine. It's only that kind of gospel that really will free us to witness and work with others without feeling hypocritical. You know, I think sometimes we've felt, well, how can I, you know, share the good news of the gospel when I really am not the kind of person that, you know, is perfect myself? Well, it's only when we understand the true gospel that it can free us to not worry so much about our inadequacies, but to trust in Jesus. Only this gospel, which is good news and not bad news, offers a message which will inspire faith, hope, and love. It's only this gospel that will give us motivation to respond in love rather than fear to the commandments of God. Only this gospel will give us assurance to face the judgment and inspire us to truly worship and glorify God. And it's only this kind of gospel that, as I've mentioned before, will motivate us and inspire us and release us to be able to share and reach out to the lost and confused world around them and give them eternal hope of eternal life. Included in this offer that we as Christians and Adventists especially have are these wonderful things. That there is forgiveness. Whoops. Where we are. There is forgiveness for the unforgivable in Jesus. There is love for the unlovable. There's mercy for the merciless. There is hope for the hopeless. And the doctrine of the second advent, found in the third angel's message, is God's announcement that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Rather, there is an infinitely powerful designer. There's a creator. There's a designer, a sustainer of the whole universe. He's one of love. He's one that's willing to sacrifice himself to save us. And we see in Jesus mercy and a God who loves to have a personal relationship with him, and one who's going to someday very soon get rid of all the sadness and suffering and evil. So we could sum up by saying the King is coming. There is hope. Take heart. We don't have to be discouraged, long-faced Christians, should we, when we have this message of hope. The hope that Jesus brings is a hope that can heal. It's a hope that can feel alienation from God, brokenness of spirit, disappointments and disillusionments, guilt, can heal fear of death, grief even, emptiness, deep loneliness, a sense of hopelessness and a fear for the future. And I believe he can reach out to every one of us today, whatever our situation is. God understands. He can take away the fear and loneliness and give it new meaning. He can take a marriage that's almost destroyed and give it new fresh beginnings and new love and new hope and joy. He can take every fractured relationship we might have and turn it around, make it a beautiful thing. And if there's anyone here today, friends, who's lonely or discouraged or things have happened, bad things have happened in your life and you're wondering where God is, he can get you through that. God can see the tears that come in our eyes or the lump in our throat when we're perhaps in hard places. He can turn the heart in your soul. He sees you, he can lead you step by step out of that and inspire you with the hope of the good news of the gospel. The great answer is the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. You know, we're a very privileged people, aren't we, as Christians and Adventists? A people of hope who can bring healing, whether it's in the pain of illness or loss of a loved one or loss of income or deep hurts or anxieties about what's happening in the world around us, such as climate change, global financial crisis, all those kinds of things. Whatever it is, the message we have to share with the world is a tremendous message of hope. And so many people don't know about it. Just recently when I was in the Philippines, which is a country of about 190 million people, and I was preaching evangelistic program just on the edge of Manila, about 21 million people, almost as many people as Australia. And to see that, you know, our program was relatively small, and to think of those millions of people out there, 95% of them Catholics, and 3/4 of those aren't even true Catholics anyway. But all those people, thousands of them, millions of them, the streets are just packed and crowded. How many of them know the gospel? God's going to have to do some miracles. And I think he's starting to already, and he has been. But there's so many people that need to hear the good news of salvation. We are such a privileged people. We can be a people of hope and bring healing. You know, on July 17, 2003, the former Prime Minister of Britain, Tony Blair, addressed the US Congress. And near the end of his speech, he said these words to say to and about America and its role in the war of terrorism after 9/11. He says, "I know it's hard on America. And you might ask, why us? Why America? Why do we have to take the lead in this?" The only answer is, he said, because destiny puts you in this place in history, in this moment of time, and the task is yours to do. Now, you may not necessarily go along with that so much, but I believe that principle he's talking about applies to us as Adventists. God has put us in this place in history, at this moment of time, with a special task to speak up about the hope and healing that the world can find through Jesus. Considering the world seen today, a world full of people who God loves, but who need spiritual, emotional, and physical healing, what better time could there be to engage with our communities and friends and neighbours? What more appropriate and relevant time could there be to share the message of love and hope of the gospel? You know, the gospel is so good. I mentioned in the children's story about this light and so forth. I was prepared to die, but I had hope. Do you know why? Because of the hope that we have in Jesus. Whether we live or die doesn't really matter, does it, in the long run? We can hope in Jesus. I thought I was going to die, but I knew the next thing I knew would be waking up and seeing Jesus come. That's the hope that people need to have. And we have that hope. So how tragic in this time of world crisis, when God is winding up his work on earth, when he's preparing for the greatest spectacular event in all world's history, the universe's history, earth-shattering appearance of Jesus, how inappropriate it would be to let us become paralysed and perhaps bored with or blind or insensitive to the urgency of the hour and the needs of the lost and hurting around about us. How tragic if at this time in Earth's history our support for God's work and in terms of effort and finances was to go down rather than to increase. How foolish if in this crisis hour, when Satan's forces are making a last desperate effort to deceive the world and destroy us, that we should spend less time in prayer and Bible study. As Adventists, we claim to have the greatest message the world could ever imagine, and the world needs it desperately. This is a day of good news, and yet I must confess sometimes as a church we hold our peace and keep it to ourselves. This is a time of hope and faith, hope in the God whom the psalmist proclaimed, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And finally, let me tell you, we are almost home, aren't we? We shouldn't give up now. Never give up. We're on the winning team, and we are nearly home. And these days, the final days of our journey, God wants us to be excited and joyful about our message, to be passionate about Jesus and his return. He wants us to be people who will stand for the truth though the heavens fall, people who treasure and share the blessed hope, who keep the commandments of God, and that very soon we know the King will come and he will not disappoint us. We will have a day to look forward to. And so, friends, that's why I'm not afraid about the future, and nor should you be. No matter what's happening in your life and what you see on the news every day, which does seem to make us anxious, but we don't need to be fearful. We can have hope. Will there be an impending crisis before us? Yes. Will there be perhaps an overmastering delusion by Satan and his evil forces? Yes. Will this perhaps be all in the face of death? Yes, but we do have no need to fear, because we have God on our side and we have a message of hope. May God bless us to keep that hope burning in our hearts. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, so thankful that you have given us a message of hope, that we of all people have been blessed and privileged to know of this when there's so many people who don't. Of course, that, Lord, puts on us a responsibility too. So help us to live the kind of life you want us to live. Help us to be happy, hopeful, and joyful Christians, and willing to look for opportunities to share your truth with other people, whether it's corporately through the church or individually with friends or neighbours or whatever it is. Help us to be attuned and filled with your Holy Spirit so that we will be able to take part in spreading this good news of hope to the world around us. Bless us in this week to come. Give us hope in our hearts. Don't let the fire burn out, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.